Good morning, everyone. Let me tell you what a pleasure it is for me to be up here in front of you this morning, and thank you for attending. And if I may say, big thank you to the Clean Economy Alliance and to Environmental Defense for pulling this together. And see, John Godfrey is here for the duration. It's nice to see you in the front row, sir. Thank you for hanging out. Now, I know we're presumably having this session today because of the Climate Summit of the Americas coming up this week. But I'm assuming that most of us here are from Ontario, and of course the topic today is Ontario, and for me it's the electricity component. But is everyone here from Ontario? Could you put up your hands? Who's from Ontario here? You know, it struck me recently when I was at the International Energy Agency meetings in Paris about 3 weeks ago, one of the great privileges we have at the CANSEA is being the Canadian designate on the International Energy Agency, looking at renewable energies and things like that. And sitting around a table with 30 other nations, talking about the different positions that our countries are having on climate change. And, you know, nationally we're taking a bit of a drubbing, of course, but from a provincial perspective, from an Ontario perspective, as somebody who has been born and raised here, I'm beginning to feel a sense of positiveness and pride in terms of what our province has been doing over these last few years. I think this phasing out of the coal electricity, which used to represent 25 or 30% of our electricity demand, isn't mentioned enough by us and by others as the single largest carbon reduction initiative in North America. And now we're at this pivotal point where we've talked about introducing a cap and trade system, we're bringing in a climate strategy, and we have this opportunity to really bring us over the edge and into a new future. And certainly the leadership of Ontario in this regard has been something of great pride for us, and we should encourage all of us to get out there and talk about the story that we're building here. And I'm going to tell you about my three recommendations in advance, and I'm going to back into them. So I'm going to start with decarbonizing our electricity system and the need to do that more quickly. Certainly, I think that we can do it more aggressively than we've set our targets for now. We're already on track to doing that. The phasing out of the coal-fired electricity system, having brought down the emissions from our electricity sector by about half and doing it in record time has been a major accomplishment, as I said. Specifically, let's speed that up. Let's see an emissions-free electricity system, completely emissions-free by 2030. Let's see a completely renewable electricity system by 2050. We're going to take that clean electricity system, we're going to apply it to our transportation and to our building sector, and we're going to be able to achieve some remarkable emission reductions by virtue of a clean electricity system, and we're going to be able to export that electricity to the United States. So that's recommendation number one. Let's decarbonize faster. Eventually, let's move to a renewable energy system. Secondly, let's empower businesses and residents to become the drivers of a new electricity paradigm. And by that, I'm talking about Grid 2.0. I'm talking about empowered consumers who are generating and managing their electricity. So let's empower residents and businesses to become the drivers towards this new distributed clean electricity system. I'm going to talk about that. And lastly, let's make sure that we don't lose the opportunity to participate in the new economy by doing what leading jurisdictions are doing in other carbon pricing regimes, which is to take the money from the cap and trade system here, whether it's auction revenues or something else, and let's invest it in those parts of our new economy that are going to make Ontario competitive over the long term. And specifically, I'm talking about 15 to 30% of those revenues going into solar and its solar-enabling technologies, like storage and electric vehicles and other things that are empowering these businesses and residents. So those are my three recommendations. I'm going to back into them, as I said. Part of this remarkable transformation that is happening is it's not just the solar side of the equation. I mean, the pricing of solar has been coming down so dramatically. Adoption has been going up at a tremendous rate. Deutsche Bank now says that by 2030, 30% of all global electricity supply will come from solar. That's 15 years from now. They're saying that it's going to be a $5 trillion industry by 2030. Just solar alone. I'm not talking about the bigger smart grid, storage, electric vehicle component, just storage alone, $5 trillion. Right now we own about 1% of that sort of renewable energy piece of pie, but 1% of a multi-trillion dollar industry is something that we should be striving for. storage is going to be an important component of that. And of course, this announcement of the Powerwall, the Tesla Powerwall, been a lot of talk about Tesla lately. It's been an exciting one in current that we've developed this very centralized electricity system that we have today. You know, over 100 years ago, in the battle between alternating current and direct current, which was being, you know, brought forward by Edison, Tesla won the day, and because alternating current can transport these electrons over vast, vast different distances, we ended up with the biggest possible plants run by the cheapest possible fuel, you know, usually gas or coal or what have you, transporting electrons over the longest possible distance to as many captive customers as possible, right? That's our electricity system today, highly, highly centralized. Now, I'm more of a fan of Edison myself. Edison had a completely different vision of the world, didn't he? He had come up with the incandescent light bulb. He had come up with the direct current electricity system. His vision of the world was 1,000 points of light where small distributed generating stations would be powering at the corners of neighborhoods, would be powering the businesses and the homes, lighting up his incandescent light bulbs and providing light to everybody at prices far, far cheaper than kerosene or oil or other types of fuel at the time could do. And the issue was that he was ahead of his time. You know, to put distributed generation on the corner of every neighborhood would have meant coal plants. Small coal plants burning at the end of every street. He was more than 100 years ahead of his time. That's what my contention is. You know, he's got this beautiful, beautiful quote from over 100 years ago. He said, "I would put my money on solar and solar energy. What a source of power. I hope we don't have to wait until oil and gas and coal run out until we tackle that." This is more than 100 years ago. And, you know, I brought this quote up the other day, and someone came up to me afterward and said, you forgot an important part of the quote. And it was at the very end, and I didn't realize this. He said, "I wish I had more years left," as part of that quote. But here was Edison 100 years ago talking about the potential for the sun. And here we are more than 100 years later with solar electricity, distributed generation, now on the verge of becoming, in the next 15 years, the dominant source of electricity on Earth. And this distributed generating source coming from the largest fusion reactor in the solar system, you know, that won't run up for another four billion years or so, coinciding with the emergence of storage technology now, which is going to do some remarkable things. And I want to talk about that for a second. We don't talk about the fact that here in Ontario, we have established an enormous solar base. It's worldwide recognized now. We've got more than 2 gigawatts of solar installed in Ontario. That is makes us, for the last 3 years, running the third largest market and second largest market in North America for installed solar, next to California the last 2 years, in terms of the amount of solar we're installing right now. We're employing 12,000 people, as I speak, deploying solar. So, you know, Jack, when you get up and talk about the sort of transformation we have to make and what role renewable energies play, I think we have to talk about solar. And I think we have to talk about how the new storage RFPs that have come out from the Ontario government are feeding into that, how the new Tesla Powerwall, which people were expecting was going to be about $20,000 a unit, is actually $3,000 a unit, and the trajectory that we got now for storage, plus solar, plus other renewables, wind, plus wind-tied solar, opening up vast new possibilities for us. And I think we should think about, as Ontarians, the fact that we've got a smart meter on every single home and business across this province, the fact that we've got rebates for electric vehicles, which allow people to park an electric vehicle in their driveway, put solar panels on their roof, put a Tesla Powerwall or a Panasonic battery in their garage at an almost affordable price, use the smart meters to be interacting with our local distribution companies and creating a distributed, resilient grid that is allowing people and businesses to generate and manage their own electricity in a very green way. And lastly, what we have to think about is how Ontario can take that distinct advantage. I want to tell you, we are not the leading jurisdiction in the world in terms of creating low-cost panels. Okay, that's not our niche. But I can tell you, coming from, again, these meetings that we have with the International Energy Agency in a global perspective, that we are leaders in terms of connecting the dots around this smart grid and powered future. We have all of the ingredients to make us global leaders in terms of the sort of intellectual capital, the expertise, that is not only going to transform our electricity system here, but is going to be, give us economic advantage on the world stage in terms of being leaders around distributed generation grid 2.0. So that brings me right back to my three recommendations. And in summary, I'll just say, I hope this fed into it. Let's decarbonize the electricity system more quickly. We can do it. We've got about 10 gigawatts right now of gas-fired plants that can or don't have to be used. They start expiring in 2026. My advice is watch where solar pricing and storage pricing are going. We're not going to need those gas-fired plants after 2026. Now is not the time to be making 30-year, 40-year investments in centralized infrastructure when we know that in 10 years' time, storage plus renewable energies is going to give us all of the flexibility that we need. So let's make sure we're making the right decisions, that we're speeding up these deadlines around decarbonizing our electricity system. And I'm suggesting if I had the pen, that would be by 2030, and by 2050 we would be taking out nuclear stations as well. Secondly, empower businesses and homeowners to bring forward this future that I talked about. That means working with the utilities to change the business model and offering services to homeowners and business owners and taking away the barriers. And thirdly, after we've created that demand, let's ensure that we take the revenues that come from this cap and trade system and that we reinvest them into the new economy, into solar storage, solar enabling technologies, and help decarbonize our transportation and building sector. Thank you very much.